There was one time a mom with a I would say maybe a 4 or 5 year old, and she was new to the church, and so the 4 or 5 year old didn't want to yet go to their class, you know, whenever the children were dismissed. And she stayed with her mom in the congregation, and she was the best little girl. I couldn't believe just how well behaved she was in the whole sermon, you know. And I maybe got a little long, you know. I very rarely do that, but you know, once in a while. And so afterwards, I was talking to her and her mom as they were leaving, and I said, "You know, you were such a good girl today." And she looked up at me with a smile and she said, "Yeah," she said. And mommy told me if I wasn't quiet, you'd lose your place in the sermon and have to start all over again. Oh, okay. I think I get that message, huh? I think I do. You know, do kids do say some wonderful things that are just, you know, they're innocent. So they just say whatever it is they have on their mind, right? I was reading one little story as an illustration for the message today about a Christian school and a little elementary Christian school, and a wonderful teacher of the kindergarten class who was out in the playground. And she noticed that little Bobby was really making ugly faces at the girls, you know. And so she went up to little Bobby, and the Sunday school teacher was trying to use the wisdom of God, you know, to say something that was appropriate. All she could think of was, "Bobby, when I was a child, my mom told me that if I made ugly faces, my face would freeze that way." You've heard that, right? So little Bobby looked up and smiled and said, "Well, Miss Smith, you can't say you weren't warned." Just straight up, you know. But the one that kind of takes the cake, though, is the pastor that was invited to the family's house for dinner. And the mom thought, "Well, we'll just, you know, kind of be proud of our little boy who has learned to pray and say grace." And so the mom called upon the little boy to say grace, and he kind of froze and said, "I don't know what to say." And so the mom said, "Well, just say what you've heard us say." And so he bowed, and you know what was coming next, right? He said, "Oh Lord, why on earth did I invite the pastor to dinner today?" Yeah. How many have ever had something like this happen to them when you walked into some place and people didn't know you were there, but you actually heard them talking about you? Has anybody ever had that happen? How do you feel when that happens? Well, it hurts, doesn't it? It actually becomes very grieving to our spirits like that. Well, how about the role reversal? Now, I know I'm gone to meddling with this one, stop preaching, gone to meddling. But were you ever on the other side of that stick where you were the one talking about someone and all of a sudden you turned around and you found that they were there? Now smile and I won't think you weren't guilty of that, but it's true. See, that's what we want to talk about today. You know, the first one had to do with grieving, hurting, right? And the second illustration had to do with being convicted. Well, as we dig into the book of Acts, which is where we're at now in our studies, and we are in this series called A Church of Acts, right? The Church of Acts. In the book of Acts, we really find the important role of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're talking about today. But did you know that just like you were when you walked in and you heard somebody talking about you, that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Did you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? That he has feelings? And then also, did you realize that one of the key roles of the Holy Spirit in your life is to convict you. By the way, beforehand, right? Convict you before you go through with what it is that you're thinking about going through with. That is an absolute key role of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, without it, we're done. Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we would do things that would really hurt us and others. Say amen. In fact, because of being calloused to the Holy Spirit, families and children in our world are suffering and even dying today because of the callousness of the human heart. Huh? The callousness that comes upon our conscience, right? What is your conscience, right? Your conscience is that inner sense of knowing what is right and wrong. Did you know that in the Bible that the Hebrew word for conscience is actually the word L-E-B, leb, which is translated heart in your Bible? So oftentimes when the scriptures talk about heart, it really is talking about the conscience. The conscience is so much more than what we really think of it as. It's the core of the heart. So for example, when it's recorded in scripture that Pharaoh hardened his heart, you remember that? What it really means is that Pharaoh had become such hard-hearted. He actually seared his conscience to the point where he wasn't feeling. God wasn't able to get through to him. And what did it take to get through to him? You remember? The final resort, right? The last plague. It's because of the hardness of his heart. Now, the opposite would be having a tender heart. And the scripture talks about a tender heart, which means you are very in tune with your conscience. And when you're a Christian, it means you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. A tender heart, a sensitive heart. That's what we pray for. And I want to show you today that that is what God desires, is for us to have a tender heart, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and how much of a blessing that is in our lives. Because I want you to see also that the result of a hard heart is devastation. Is devastation. I want to call your attention to a story in Scripture that will make you gulp, but I want to really have its shock effect get through to us today. And so in your Bibles, if you have it, and if not on the screen, we're going to look at the book of 2 Kings in chapter 6. In this passage in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in verse 24, we're going to read about an ancient tactic in military warfare called laying siege to a city. Cities in those days were built with big walls around them. If you've read your scriptures, you often come across that cities were built with walls around them, walls of protection, so that when an invading army came, you were safe if the walls held up. Well, safe, that is, unless the siege lasted a long, long time. And that's what happened in this passage of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6. It says this in verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadid, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria, which was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. There was a great famine in that city. Why? Because the siege lasted so long, it cut off all supply of new food into that city. The siege lasted so long, it said, that a donkey's head sold for 8 shekels of silver and a quarter cab of seed pod for 5 shekels. In other words, food was so scarce that anyone that had just a little bit of food, like the little bit of meat that would be on a donkey's head, it would sell for a fortune. Why? Because there was no food. It's the law of supply and demand, right? When the food was running out, that's what the scripture is trying to tell us, is that it was so bad, that the scarcity of food was so bad, that if you had a little bit, you could sell it for a fortune. Of course, what good was it going to do? Because it was going to run out too, right? So here's the story. It says, as the king of Israel, this is the northern kingdom of Samaria, the king of Israel passed by on the wall that surrounded the city, a woman down below cried out to him. A woman cried out to him, "Help me, my lord the king." Now, I bet you he had heard that once or twice during the siege. And so the king, kind of calloused, turned around and says, if the Lord doesn't help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, which is where they threshed the wheat. There wasn't any wheat to thresh. From the wine press, there was no wine to be had. There was no food. So the king was saying, how can I help you? And she said, well, this woman said to me, give up your son so that we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. Now, verse 29. So the woman says, we cooked my son and ate him. And the next day I said to her, give up your son that we may eat him. But she had hidden him. And when the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robe. Why? Because he couldn't believe what he was hearing. He couldn't believe that things had gotten so bad. He couldn't believe that it would come to that, that a woman could do such a thing, a mother. And even though this king was not the most godly king, even he felt the conviction of conscience and tore his robes. Now let me ask you something. Can people become so hardened, so deadened, that they would do things like this? And the answer, my friends, is yes. You know, your conscience is like the nerve endings in your fingertips or nerve endings in your body. You know, they're there, it's there for a reason. Can you imagine what it would be like to not be able to feel at all? To not have any sense of feeling? Can't feel hot or cold? Can't feel pain? You know, some that are suffering in pain may think that, well, that would be a blessing for me. But the truth is, to be able to feel no pain would really result in you probably killing yourself quickly. You know what I mean? I mean, just think about it. You wouldn't have any sense of pain, so when you know you were leaning against a hot stove, you wouldn't know it until you smelt the flesh burning. If you had no feeling, if you were deadened to the feeling that you have in your nerve endings. Well, you see, what the scripture says is that we can become that way in our hearts, in our consciences. They can become callous. They can become hardened. They can become deadened so that we're not feeling the conviction of God's Spirit. Some of you may have remembered this story. I remembered it when I came across it. It was way back in 1984. There was an airlines from Spain. It was actually Avianca Airlines that crashed into a mountainside, and they found the black box, you know, in the airplane that is the flight recorder. You know how they search for that because it gives them clues to what went wrong. When they found the black box, the cockpit recorder, it revealed that several minutes before impact, before the plane crashed, there was a shrill synthesized voice. It came from the plane's automatic warning system. And it told the crew, it told the pilot and the co-pilot, pull up, pull up. That was what you heard on the black box coming from the computer inside that plane. The pilot, evidently thinking that the system was malfunctioning, was heard on the black box recording saying, shut up, gringo. Minutes later, the plane plowed into the side of that mountain, and everyone on board died. That illustration is a way of understanding that when we ignore our conscience, when we ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the warning messages that come to our conscience, We are in danger of crashing and burning. We become in danger. You know, callous forms because of repeated action, right? I mean, any of you got calluses on your hands? Probably. Not too much. Not anymore, huh? Yeah, well, calluses form because of repeated actions. And calluses on your hands aren't too bad, right? Because you don't feel the pain when you're working, right? But calluses on your heart, different story. Different story. Calluses form on our heart also because of repeated wrong action. If we do the wrong thing enough, we become desensitized to it. We become desensitized. And why would we do the wrong things? Because we want what we want when we want it. Right? We want what we want when we want it. I like that passage in the book of James that says, you know, what causes the fights and quarrels among you? Isn't it the desires that war within you? You want what you want, and you'll do whatever it takes to get it. What will you do to get what you want? Will you ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit just to get what you want? Well, that's the message, you know. The Apostle Paul spoke about a time coming when people's consciences were so seared that they could do terrible things, that they actually would glory in what we would call shameful actions. You know, when you violate your conscience, it's supposed to convict you. And when you don't know Christ, that sometimes triggers feelings of shame, right? Anguish, anxiety, disgrace. Who likes to feel that? Shame and disgrace. Who likes to feel that? No one. No one. So in order to not feel convicted, you know what you have to do? Now listen carefully. You have to change the standards of what you perceive as right and wrong. Oh, now you didn't get that. I'm going to repeat that one more time. Because no one likes to feel shame and disgrace for doing wrong, because that's a terrible feeling. In order to get away from that feeling, instead of coming to Christ, you know what you do? You change the standards of what's right and wrong so that you're not convicted anymore. Now, do you get that? But see, the reason I say that is that's exactly what's happening in the world today. What we're seeing among us, here in America, what we're seeing is the effort to change the standards of what's right and wrong. And if you stand back and see it clearly, like we talked about last week, you'll see that that's an effort to take away the feeling of shame, right? And conviction. Because you won't be convicted if your conscience says it's not wrong. Huh? That's what's happening in our world today. And you know what's amazing? In the name of tolerance, it's being promoted as something good. Huh? As if tolerance was the thing to be sought as opposed to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of what's right and wrong. Telling you what, in our world today, you know what, God's Spirit is trying to send those messages, pull up, pull up, pull up before you crash and burn. But people aren't hearing it. They're moving away from the standards of right and wrong so they don't feel the conviction. But I want to tell you the answer. The answer is to pray for God to pour out, just as it says in the book of Joel, His Spirit upon all flesh. Because Jesus clearly told us. Now, what did He say? John chapter 16, Doug, and verse 5 through 11. Jesus said this when He was getting ready to leave. And He said to them in verse 5 in chapter 16 of John, I'm going to Him who sent me. Yet none of us ask, where am I going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief, but I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away, Jesus said. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now look at verse 8. This is the verse I want you to focus on. Verse 8. When he comes. When who comes? The Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, one of the key roles of the Holy Spirit to bring about revival, which we desperately need in our own lives and in the lives of people throughout America, is to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is what God's Spirit can do. We were talking before class today and before church today in the prayer room. And we had talked about how God can use us to help people's hearts become open to the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's none of us that ever saves anybody. The only thing that saves people is the Holy Spirit finally being able to get into their heart. You know what? We don't do it. The only thing that brings somebody to Christ, the only thing that brings somebody to repentance and to the forgiveness that's available through Christ is the Holy Spirit. The only thing. So God's Spirit is pictured in the Bible as always trying to break into human hearts, always trying. But when a heart is hard, the Holy Spirit can't get in. And so God uses people like me and you to help people's hearts become softened. How do you do that? Acts of love, right? Sincerity, when you're ministering to people, even some that don't appreciate it, amen? When you're willing to minister to children too, Tom, when you're willing to minister to kids and show them love, the Holy Spirit can even work in the heart of a child. And many of you have seen that. Many of you teachers have seen that. Acts of kindness can be used by God to soften the heart that allows God's Spirit to break in. And in our lives too, we need to make sure our heart is soft enough to be able to feel the Holy Spirit, to be able to allow Him in, that we may be guided, that we may be led. And sometimes, yes, that we may be convicted. You know, conviction, Christian conviction. Where's Tyler at? Is he back there? Hey, Tyler, I was thinking of you when I run across this illustration. See if it works for you. It was talking about how HDTV, you know, the high definition television, has really changed the preparation work behind the scenes as people prepare to come on camera. Even sets have to change. In the old days when the resolution of televisions was really bad, you know, and some of you that are as old as me had rabbit ears and aluminum foil on the rabbit ears and the picture tube was fuzzy, you know, and you were happy to, you know, be able to see a little bit clearly. You know what? They could put fake books on the bookshelves and people didn't have to worry too much about makeups or pimples or anything else because you couldn't see it anyway. But now, you know, you get a 90-inch TV? What's a big TV now? What's a real big one? 85? You got one of those, right? No, okay. An 85, you get an 85-inch TV and you get high definition, buddy. I mean, to tell you what, you can see every gray hair in my eyebrow. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just that clear. And so it was talking about how the new resolution has caused so much change in the industry because of being able to see so clearly, huh? So now where does that illustration go? Do you understand how that illustration can be used in this sermon? You know, like television personalities that are facing that high definition camera, when we come to God, when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, now listen carefully, He can point out, and it is a He, right? He is a He. The Holy Spirit can point out things in our life that He wants us to change. Some things that we were oblivious to before. Come on. Things that never bothered us before that we could get away with. The closer we get to God, am I right? The more He convicts us, right? It's like the high definition. It's like the camera focusing in. Now we can see faults in ourselves that we could never see before. But I want to tell you, church, that is a great blessing if we're willing to respond to it the right way. Respond to it and say to God, Lord, I see now. Do that work in me. Change me, Lord. Right? Can you imagine what would happen if Christians in America, if Christians in Bedford, Bedford County, this region, Pennsylvania, if Christians in America would really start to get in tune like that to the Holy Spirit and be able to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and be able to see things that the Holy Spirit wants to change in them, and people begin to literally change and become more like Christ. Can you imagine what would happen? I can. And more importantly, God has already imagined it. And He has already willed it to happen. This is His will, that as the darkness gets dark, His light, huh? His light shines brighter. His light shines brighter. And where is that light? It's supposed to be in you and in me. You see, we're going to be a part of the revival that God is bringing upon this land when we get in tune with God's Spirit, when we become sensitive to His Spirit. And you know what? It's not about us becoming holier than thou. Not at all. But you know what it is about? Us becoming real with everybody that we meet. Real. Not pretending that we have it all together when we don't. And you know what I'm saying is that the world's not looking for Christians to be perfect, but you know what the world is looking for Christians to be? Honest, open, and willing. And you can tell the difference between a Christian that has felt that conviction of the Holy Spirit and is trying, even if they mess up, because their whole attitude is different. Your whole attitude is different when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, even though you're not perfect and you're not pretending to be, you're not out there preaching holier-than-thou messages that turn people off. What you're trying to do is live a life of Christ the best you can with His help, and He's helping you. And people can see it. People aren't dumb. Most people aren't. They're, I mean, you know, well, you have to qualify. I mean, but you know, people can see truly the difference between somebody that's trying and somebody that's just pretending. Amen? And we want to be the people in the first category, right? That are in tune with God, and we truly are serious about it. And we're not in religion just to go through the motions. I'll tell you what, this church is not. I'm so proud of you. This church is not into that at all. You know, we come not because we have to. It's because we want to. Makes all the difference in the world. It really does. I mean, that's what this world needs to see. Christians that love to be Christians because they know it's the best way to live. It really is. And they're trying. Amen? In the book of Acts, in the second chapter, as we had read before, when Peter preached his message, it says people were cut to the heart, right? So you see the evidence in chapter 2 of the book of Acts of God's Spirit breaking through to a hard heart. Amen? Okay, final word of illustration before we close today. And I want you to end today with a prayer for God to, if you're willing, for God to make your heart more soft, more sensitive to Him, that you can feel His conviction. And I want you to ask the Lord, what areas in my life has my heart grown calloused? right? You know, in other words, what am I tolerating in my life that I shouldn't be tolerating? What's sin? You know, Lord, would you say to the Holy Spirit, would you shine that high definition camera into my heart and show me my imperfections that I may feel and that I may turn and change? Would you do that? That's where we want to end. And as we do, I want you to hear this. Jesus said, these people's hearts have become calloused. And that's the problem. Hearts have become calloused. I was sitting on the couch the other day, and you know, you're at home, so you get comfortable, right? The socks come off, and you're in your bare feet, you know, and then my foot got itchy, and I happened to reach down and scratch a little bit, and boy, I felt my heel and the other ball on my foot in the front, and man, was it ever hard and callous. I guess it's been a long time since I felt the bottom of my foot, or my wife had. Oh, no. But when I did, you know, I thought, now wait a minute now. I think in our bathroom somewhere, we have one of those, a guy would call it a file, you know what I mean? We have one of those, whatever they're called, you know, callus removers, you know. And so I went searching for one so I could scrape the calluses off of my foot. Don't you get them too? You better check. But more importantly, don't you get them on your heart? Now, I want to have fun with you because, you know, I want you to remember this message. And I don't want you to go away thinking that any one of us are exempt. So I went and I bought us all. You think I'm kidding you? I did. You know? So you can scrape the calluses off. But more importantly, as I have these ready for you when you leave here, you can pick one up. I simply want you to have that as a reminder of today's message. To pray, like I'm asking you to pray right now. Lord, don't let my heart become calloused. Or if it is, please remove those calluses that I can feel again. Amen? Take that thing and allow the Holy Spirit to do this with it. You know what I mean? To rub off the calluses of your heart that you can feel His conviction once again. And I'm telling you what, if we're willing, we're going to be a part of what God is doing to bring revival to this land. Don't you want to? Let's stand together then. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we come before You and we ask, dear God, that You, Lord, would send Your Spirit anew into our lives. And that, Lord, we give You permission today. As a matter of fact, Lord, not just permission, but we're asking You, Lord, we're asking You, Lord, to do a work in our heart, to soften our hearts, oh God, that we can feel with conviction the wrong, Lord, the things in our life that we have become callous to that we need to change. We don't want, Lord God, to stay the same. We want to be, Lord, the people You call us to be. So we ask You today, Lord, to help us change and help us by making our hearts soft before You, that we may feel, Lord, Your conviction. Lord, do this work in us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen.